What happened the night Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez died?
There needs to be some rest. There needs to be some closure.
We follow the leads on Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
As I mentioned, there's a lot of reopening that's going to be happening here in Southern California. In some cases, museums that have been closed for a full year are reopening to up to 25% capacity. That's going to be a whole new experience for people. I'm curious whether you're going to feel comfortable going in. Maybe that depends on whether you've been fully vaccinated or not, whether you would be comfortable going indoors to have dinner or lunch or to visit a museum. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. I'd like to hear from those of you in the restaurant business. What are you weighing, or have you weighed, in that decision whether to reopen indoors or not? Because I know there are a lot of financial decisions. This is not a slam dunk that you would necessarily reopen indoors at 25% capacity. That may not be profitable. You might lose money under that and figure you can't sustain that indefinitely. But I'd like to hear you describe it. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can also tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk Facebook page, or post on the AirTalk page at kpecc.org. With me is senior editor at Eater LA, Farley Elliott. Farley, good morning. Thank you for being with us. What sorts of conversations generally have you had with restaurateurs about this?
You know, it really spans a pretty broad spectrum. We're seeing operators who are coming out to say that this is the, you know, biggest thing that could have happened to them in a matter of months, and that this is a pathway towards the kind of reunification of the industry at large. But you're absolutely right, Larry. There's no belief that 25% indoor dining capacity is going to financially save these restaurants. Hopefully, as we continue down the line, you're going to see a greater amount of vaccinations and a broader reopening as a result. But you know, really, ultimately, it's going to depend operator by operator how comfortable they are and how much money they're willing to lose while also keeping their employees safe.
I also wonder about the requirement that only a single household be seated at one table, that you not mix households, because, you know, just walking around or driving around town, I'm sure you've seen this too, you see groups of people at tables that clearly are not the same household when you look at the generations that are represented and just the way that they're relating to each other. You know, these are friends and they're getting together. How are restaurants going to police that, or are they going to police it at all?
Yeah, the guidance has continued to change and loosen a little bit. A lot of the outdoor dining setups you've seen, especially recently, they are now allowing, you know, up to three different household people to mix in that congregate setting. And so there's hope that people can, because they really want to, get back to seeing some friends in a safe, healthy way. The indoor dining part is definitely going to be trickier if we're trying to have people kind of self-attest at the door that they are from one family. Ultimately, Southern California and much of the United States has not really done the kind of robust contact tracing that we've seen in, say, Hong Kong or Shanghai, to make sure that people are following all the protocols. There's a little bit of a common sense and kind of hope that the greater public is, quote unquote, doing the right thing.
Our LAist and KPCC food editor, Elena Shatkin, has spoken with a number of restaurateurs, just like our guest, Farley Elliott. And in a conversation that Elena had with Marie Petula, co-owner of Union Restaurant in Pasadena, she talked about her staff and her plans to have a reduced indoor capacity.
We're fortunate. One, the good and bad, I guess, but the restaurant itself is rather small, so there will be only six tables inside with barriers between each table with the front doors open. So we have a good airflow, you know, within the restaurant, so we do feel confident with our setup that we can do it safely and accommodate some guests. We still will have the outdoor dining, and diners will get an opportunity to choose, you know, with availability, whether they'd be more comfortable inside or outside.
And I have to just say for myself, I'm not going to be comfortable eating inside until I'm fully vaccinated. And until that point, I just don't feel comfortable about doing it. But I'm curious to hear from you what you think about this as a listener. And I want to hear from those of you in the restaurant business, the range of emotions you're feeling over reopening indoor dining if you're doing so. If you're choosing to not yet reopen indoors, I'd like to hear the reasons why and what you're going to be looking for in these forthcoming days and weeks going into your decision as to whether you do open reopen indoors with limited capacity. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Let's talk with Mickey in Santa Clarita. Mickey, you ready to go back eating inside?
Absolutely not, Larry. To be frank, I used to go to restaurants quite a bit. I enjoy them. The only issue is the space between when the county allowed restaurateurs to open up and today was a small space. Many of them haven't had a chance to get their people vaccinated. Plus, we know that there are individuals who didn't believe in the severity of the COVID-19 outbreak, so they wouldn't wear masks. Many of them are infected without any symptoms. And you and I are going in there, sitting next to them. You know they're not going to wear a mask, and that's just not comfortable for me. The workers, it's just not okay.
Yeah. Mickey, I understand. Once you're fully vaccinated, will you feel okay about it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Although I wonder if I would still be able to transmit to someone who's not fully vaccinated, if I was a carrier.
Well, and really the jury is still out on that question, Mickey, and hopefully we'll have some more answers on that. But yeah, that's an ongoing question. Mickey in Santa Clarita, we're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. This is one of the things that I've been seeing, Farley, restaurant owners talking about, trying to figure, will their customers be comfortable coming back inside even if they reopen?
The operators I've talked to in the past couple of weeks are saying that with the reemergence of outdoor dining alone, they've started to see their takeout business dwindle. People who are only operating in a to-go format have started to see some of their businesses pull away. There really is a drive, I think, from a lot of people in the county and beyond of wanting to get out and be in some kind of public space eating again. I mean, that's what restaurants ultimately are. They're a cultural exchange that happens to be centered around food. And so you're going to see people who absolutely want to go experience that, but it's ultimately a personal decision, and you've got to weigh not only how you feel and your personal connection to the vaccine, but also the workers and trying to support a local business and all of that stuff. It's a really complicated message to be putting out there for everybody to take.
866-893-KPECC. We'll continue our conversation. And again, those of you that are in the restaurant business, also, if you're on the staff or a volunteer at a local museum which is reopening, I'd like to hear what you're going through to get the museum up and running again. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Back in just 90 seconds. James in Newport Beach says, my experience on eating out, the mask policy doesn't seem to be practical or enforced. People come in wearing their masks. They put it on if they go to the restroom, but they don't wear it while they're sitting at the table. And yes, that is, at least I was looking at Pasadena's guidelines. I don't know if they conform to LA County's, but they're going to require people, or at least ask people, to wear their mask except when they're actively eating or drinking. So in other words, when they're at the table indoors, people are expected to wear their masks unless they're actually using their mouth to put something in it. Farley Elliott, senior editor at Eater LA, do you think that's realistic that people will comply?
I think there's going to be a fair amount of compliance. It's a matter, I think, of whether or not the workers are going to actually enforce for those who haven't been voluntarily compliant. And that's where it gets really tricky. Restaurants are ultimately a hospitality business, and there are huge sectors of the population workforce that, you know, want to be there, that enjoy it as a career and don't necessarily want to be a bummer or whatever the feeling may be. But ultimately, it's about public health and safety. And so you just got to hope that the folks that are willing to dine indoors are doing so with thoughtful consideration for the people on the other side of that business.
Maddie in South Los Angeles, you work at a museum, I understand?
Yes, that's right.
Which one is it, and are you reopening?
Yeah, so I work at the California Science Center here in South LA, and we are planning to reopen in about a week after we enter the red tier to give us time to prepare and everything. So we're opening at 25% capacity, and there's been a lot of direct communication from management about planning for reopening, how to keep everyone safe. But just like with restaurants reopening, I think it's definitely a little bit scary for the staff and the volunteers, of course, about whether or not guests are going to behave themselves, are going to wear masks correctly, how to approach guests whenever they're not wearing masks appropriately, and what to do if there's an altercation. So there's a lot of questions still in the air and a lot of questions that we still have to think about as we're preparing to reopen in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and are you going to have specialized training to help staff deal with that over the course of this week?
Yeah, actually, back after the first wave, so to say, we did have a specialized training when we thought that we were reopening, and so they were re-offering that training again, mostly for the people who are on the front lines and guest services, but even the people who work in back of house need that kind of training too, just in case.
Now, unlike restaurants, I don't think that museum employees are at high-level eligibility for vaccination. Is that right? And have you and your coworkers been able to be vaccinated?
That's correct. Since the Science Center does count as an aquarium due to one of the areas that we have, we do count as food and agriculture workers.
Oh.
Some of us have been able to get vaccinated if we're directly working with the animals, but people like who work in guest services, who are working face-to-face with guests, they're just like restaurant workers where they're not necessarily able to get vaccines as easily if they don't fall into other criteria.
Boy, I wonder how that worked. Now, the aquarium is not anything to do with food, so I don't. But that's great. I'm glad that's working out. That'll make it a little less stressful to reopen the California Science Center in Exposition Park. Maddie in South L.A., thank you so much. Natalie in Glendale, I understand you're a barista. Where do you work, and are you opening indoors?
Yeah, I work at Avra Beverly Hills, and we are opening indoors. I actually talked to you a few months ago for an interview for a class.
Oh, great. Oh, yes, Natalie. Hi. Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm so much more comfortable this time around than I was last time. Last time, it just felt like the numbers weren't for us. We were just kind of leveling off. And here we're actually, the numbers are going down. So many more of the people coming in are vaccinated already. They're older. I already got it myself. And so, I feel just more comfortable with my natural immunity, and I've gotten the first of two doses. It's just a different story this time around. It feels like we're really going by the data.
Natalie, thank you so much. It's great to hear from you. Natalie interviewed me for a graduate school project that she's doing. Wish you all the best. A very bright young woman. Natalie in Glendale, we're at 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Let's talk with Tasha in North Hollywood. You work for a bar restaurant, I understand, and I wonder, with it being a partial bar, does this give you concerns about reopening?
Yeah, exactly. My main concern is the fact that this week is St. Patrick's Day on Wednesday. And, some of us have been able to get our vaccine, our first shot, but some of us are still waiting on the second one. And I feel like they just could have waited a little bit longer, at least until after St. Patrick's Day, because with that environment, people just really... You know, they let loose and they're not on their guard the more they drink. So, yeah.
Are you comfortable sharing the name of where you work?
I don't want to say that.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Do you think that employees are going to be maybe more vigilant about people that are over drinking, not trying to head them off before they get more inebriated? Or is that just really tough to do in an environment like where you work?
I mean, it's always tough, but I think, yeah, we definitely will have to be more on our guard, especially with St. Patrick's Day coming up. And the mask thing has been a little bit tricky anyways. And I just hope that I hope that people don't all of a sudden think, oh, well, we're inside now and that's okay. And so we can let our guard down. You know, I hope people still try to keep it safe and be respectful of everybody.
Tasha, we wish you the best with that. Absolutely. For you and your coworkers. Tasha in North Hollywood. Let's talk next with Jose in Downey. Jose, are you comfortable going back indoors to eat at a restaurant?
You know, Larry, no, I'm not. I have two of the vaccines, Pfizer, and I still need to remind our population that there's no 100% guarantee that, you know, we're not going to get the virus again. Especially, we have to worry about those variants. As you know, they can just mutate and you get sick again. So I think we need to be extra careful. So I'm not comfortable at all going inside.
Yeah,
I'd rather wait at least 2 or 3 months from now to see how we respond. Hopefully, most of the population will realize that we really need this vaccine. That's the only way to overcome this virus.
Jose, I really appreciate it. You know, my wife holds the very same view you do. She's fully vaccinated in preparation for going back to the school site where she works as a speech pathologist. And she's not ready to go indoor and eat at a restaurant, even though she's fully vaccinated. I think I'd be more comfortable with it at that point, but she's not yet. Thank you, Jose. And you bring up the important points that we still don't know how variants, to what degree they're protected by the current vaccines that we're getting, and that they are not 100%. They are fully covered in their clinical trials for the most serious COVID-19. But you're absolutely right. People can still get the virus. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We'll continue with Farley Elliott, senior editor at Eater LA. And I want to hear from you. If you work at a business, we haven't heard from a gym owner, for example. Are you going to open at 10% indoor capacity, particularly if you haven't had an outdoor space for people to work? Is that cost effective to open at 10% capacity? We're at 866-893-KPCC. Yoga studios, dance studios, the same thing. Is that capacity make it profitable for you? Or do you do it just for goodwill, even though you might be taking a bath financially? 866-893-5722. Back in 1 minute. LAist food editor Elena Shatkin was very busy over the weekend talking with local restaurateurs about their plans for reopening today or later this week for indoor dining with a 25% capacity limit. And one of the restaurateurs that Elena talked with is the owner of Love and Salt in Manhattan Beach. Sylvie Gabrielle said she's not quite as excited as other restaurant owners about reopening. She says restaurants around hers haven't been as observant of the protocols.
As they open up, you know, as we stay closed, we're pretty much just handing over our business to other restaurants. So it puts us in a tough position that way. So I have mixed feelings about it. You know, initially I was like, okay, guys, it's not a huge lift for us. And, you know, we could probably open in, you know, a week after we're allowed, give ourselves a week to kind of adjust to the reality. And I have mixed feelings. I'm not as, you know, I'm not as comfortable opening up as I thought I would be.
It's Sylvie Gabrielle, who is the owner of Love and Salt in Manhattan Beach. Want to hear from those of you in the restaurant business, either as an employee or someone who manages or owns a restaurant. If you've got a gym, a dance studio, a yoga facility, 866-893-KPECC, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. If you work at a museum, as our earlier listener did, she's at the California Science Center talking about them preparing to reopen in about a week with 25% capacity, 866-893-KPECC. And I want to hear from you about your openness to go into these indoor environments, either pre-vaccination or post full vaccination, and what for you are going to be the criteria as to whether you patronize those establishments. Joining me to talk about restaurants specifically from Eater LA, Senior Editor Farley Elliott. I thought that that was a really good point that was just raised by the last restaurateur. And that is, you know, they're in this hyper-competitive environment, and what their neighboring restaurants do has a big effect on the potential customer perception and even safety concerns of a restaurant.
Well, that's exactly right. And you've seen a lot of this happen in really dense neighborhoods, you know, what were once seen as super places you'd want to be, you know, heart of Silver Lake, Sunset Boulevard. These are places where restaurants occupy a lot of the retail space. And so where goes one, where goes all? You have the opportunity and sometimes the necessity of opening up, even if it does make you a little bit uncomfortable, that if you are not able to financially weather the storm otherwise. And in Manhattan Beach specifically, they've been opening up public spaces to let people do takeout on-site dining that's built by the city. But if you're not at this point starting to consider what your neighbors are doing and how it affects your business, it's going to be really challenging to move forward.
Well, and I wonder about these places like Manhattan Beach with very high rents. Are many of these restaurants, Farley, getting some degree of relief as they go through this?
You know, it's a pretty ad hoc process. The federal government has been really slow to respond in meaningful ways, especially on the small business side. Some of the PPP stuff, we've seen now two rounds of that come through. That's been helpful, but most operators describe it as nothing more than a Band-Aid on larger issues. If you've got a landlord that's willing to work with you, some restaurants have landlords that are partners in the businesses themselves, that can be a meaningful thing. But if not, if you have a landlord that is demanding full rent or waiting for that day when the federal government says, hey, we are no longer protecting people from eviction. I mean, that is going to be a really challenging time, and we may see a whole other slew of restaurant closures as a result.
For those restaurants that have announced closures, what's your thought about the percentage of those that might rethink and come back? I've just always wondered if, you know, having this time off and once they see, particularly with higher capacity indoor reopening, whether we might see some revivals.
Well, there's a lot that goes into that. Turning off a restaurant and turning back on a restaurant are really dramatic processes that are in some ways like starting a restaurant from scratch. You may not simply have the financial resources to make that possible, let alone the workforce. The chef might move, you know, to some other state. I mean, who knows? And that's to say nothing of the deal you can get from your landlord if you're trying to go back to the same space. There are a ton of considerations. And I would say even the places that are open right now, although it may not seem like it to the average diner, those places are failing financially. They are not solvent in the way that they were in 2019. And so it's really just a how long can you last game more than anything else.
Vader says on Twitter, my partner and I don't plan to eat out or visit museums until after we get vaccinated. I wonder if most think the same way. We also have another interview that was conducted by our Elena Shatkin with Vanda Asipahu, who's the chef and owner of Araya Thai in Westchester. Vanda says she's holding off on reopening.
We feel it's not the right time quite yet for us. And that's in kind of two fronts. One is simply because, you know, for most of our staff, they've only had one vaccine so far. Some of them have found it really hard to make appointments. And we've only kind of gone, you know, maybe 2 weeks into vaccination for frontline service workers, including restaurant workers. And the other front is if we were to dedicate a whole team and new protocols to a 25% capacity dine-in, it doesn't make quite the financial and business sense at this time.
That's Vanda Asipahu, who's the chef and owner of Araya Thai near LAX. John, in San Marino, I understand you have a business in San Marino. What type is it, and are you looking at reopening indoors?
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
The business that my wife and I own, we're called San Marino Music Center, and we do music lessons. A lot of it was in person prior to the pandemic. And obviously the majority of our lessons went online as soon as things got underway last year. We've been operating at about 25% capacity, so under the Purple Tiers guidelines. And, with LA County moving into the red tier, we really don't feel safe to do it right off the bat in terms of opening up and increasing our capacity up to 50%.
Okay. All right, John, I appreciate and wish you all the best with your family business. Jeff writes on the Air Talk Facebook page, "We've spent a year protecting ourselves from COVID. This includes keeping an eye out for folks that aren't complying with the safety guidelines. My wife and I have both received both doses of Pfizer. We're not comfortable eating out in restaurants at this time. We don't want to be distracted by watching employees and guests to ensure they're doing it right." That's Jeff on the Air Talk Facebook page. My thanks to Eater LA senior editor Farley Elliott for talking with us about the reporting he's doing on local restaurateurs choosing or not choosing to reopen partially indoors. Thank you so much, Farley. Appreciate your being with us today.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks. Have a good rest of the day. Much more to come in the second hour of Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.